You might like to open your Bible to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. And we have, of all the different names that are named on planet Earth, of all the different names going, any kind, celebrities, kings, whatever. Of all the different names on Earth, try to think of one that has more stuffing to it than God. G-O-D. Of all the different names people say. Can you name any name that carries more oomph to it than those three little letters, God? Hard to find one, isn't it? Now, having said that, and we've looked at the names of God, a number of them, in order to see the God reveals himself by his name. And he progressively revealed himself in history, especially Old Testament history, and so that he appropriately added, revealed, disclosed his name, so that people would be able to appreciate and appropriate his marvelous person more intelligently. So now, having done that little list, over in Psalm 68, if I may, going backwards now, going back to the beginning, Psalm 68, may I go directly, David's going to be the instrument to spell it out for us. And in Psalm 68, picking up, please, in verse 4, sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens, by his name Jah, or Yah, and rejoice before him. And here's little words, three little letters, J, A-H or Y-A-H, which is a contraction of the word Lord or Jehovah. And takes either the first two letters, depends how you want to do it, take the first two letters of Jehovah and then you've got this, or you can take the first and last letter and the vowel in the middle and you have it another way. So whichever way you would choose to try to have it. Thus, it has to do with God, Jehovah's name, and a shortened, contracted, and it isn't for nothing. And it is used 49 times, anyway, 49 times in the Old Testament, compared to Jehovah, over 7,000 times. So here's this little, three little letters, Jah or Yah. And in the process, it has to do with God being who he is, Jehovah God, God, and it's a name. And it's a name used in Exodus, Isaiah, and in Psalms. It isn't used anywhere else, just used there, especially in Psalms. And when you're done, you have it right in front of you here, by his name, Jah. And you're going to say his praise. You're going to praise, honor, glorify, speak well of God. And then you add this Jah to pin it down. Who are we speaking well of? Who are we praising? Who are we glorifying? Jah, God. Now, over if you would, in Revelation, over to Revelation chapter 19. And in chapter 19, picking up, please, in thought, and you have a word that's going to be used four times. And I'll read verse 1 of Revelation 19, verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. And there you have the word Alleluia, which is the Hebrew, taken straight from the Hebrew, which means praise, Jah, praise, speak well of, honor, glorify, Jah. And how do you say that in one word? Alleluia, Alleluia, praise to Jah, you see, to God. Now, and you'll see it again in verse 3, and again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. There's the third time. Going down to the fourth time, verse 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, as the voice of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. So Jah has to do with God. It has to do with a marvelous aspect of God that we've looked at all along, but in the beginning, back, going to where we would like to try to go, you'll see it goes way past anything we've looked at in all the different names. It goes way past them. Now, in the light of that, would you go over with me, please, to Exodus and chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. And here's the first place it's used. Exodus 15, and it's on the great song of Moses. And the word has to do with praise. Whenever you're trying to exalt and honor God, you when you're done doing it, you add this word, Yah, Jah, God, you see. Because who else can get that praise? To whom does it belong? How much belongs to God? How great is he to receive it? And you have a little word that centers right in who he is. Now, chapter 15 of Exodus. And you would note, please, if I may, in chapter 15, and picking up in verse 2, the Lord, there's your word, the little word that you just looked at, in Psalm 68, here it is, only spelled O-L-O-R-D, but I'll help you just to remind you, that's what the word is here. Remember, it's a contracted form of Jehovah, which is the word L-O-R-D. The Lord, Yah, is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And there's the full Jehovah, Yahweh. And then the beginning of verse 2 is the shortened form, J-A-H. And thus you have the Lord. How do you address God, Moses? You're going to sing, here's the Red Sea, swallowed up all the Egyptian army. And the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He has become to me. So God, you are who you are. You are the ultimate one. There is no other person beyond you, above you, other than you. You are the only one. That's right. There's no one beyond. Nothing is possible when you say the name. It's the highest name. There's nothing beyond it about anyone, anywhere. You can't. It sums up that which we can't sum up, because we have no English. We have no language. Our language is deficient when it comes to heaven, because we can't. We have no words for it. We only have land, terminal, earthly words. When it comes to God's greatness, we can say great, but we have no word for God. No word. There's no English. Say God is almighty, but he's more than that. But we have no language. No language. So, God, Moses, what are you saying? Well, God is become to me everything that I need. He becomes to me, he who is the ultimate person. In his greatness, in his glory, in his grace, in his goodness, he's the ultimate person. And I use the name, ultimate name, God, Yah, God. There is no greater person, God, than you. And that's how he prayed. He sang the song of Moses. Now, having said that and thinking, keeping that in front of you, if you would, now, so he's God. Now, I'm going to go back to the New Testament, over to John chapter 8. And in the Gospel of John chapter 8, God simply, absolutely, individually exists. He's God. Simply, wonderfully, absolutely so. Independently so. He's the eternal God. Period. There is no other God whatsoever. Now, in John chapter 8, picking up, if I may, you would remember our Lord, in his many encounters with the Pharisees, Sadducees, he would remind them who he is in all kinds of ways. The Jewish people, unsaved people, knew very clearly what he was saying. So you don't want to ever say they didn't know. Oh no, there's no one that would speak like he did, say what he did. They had to be saying they're God. They knew that. Thus, John 8, verse 58. Jesus, I'll read verse 57, then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That's my name. I am. I am that I am. That's not me. I am. Now, did they catch that? Our modern day world doesn't catch it at all. But the Jewish people were pretty sharp on this stuff, you know. So, thus, in verse 59, then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. They were going to stone him. And if you turn over to chapter 10 of John, just for the sake of doing it, John 10, and in verse 30, why not 30? John 10, 30. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself what? God. They were very smart. They knew who he was. And they just wouldn't go along with it. Now, having said that, Before Abraham was, I am. I am. Before I am. Not I was. It doesn't say I was at the end of verse 58. It says I am. I am. I am the same one that was before Abraham. Not I was. I am. I am. Now, having said that, in the light of the being, a state, condition of being, being, I am existing, I am being, to be, to exist, I am existing, I always exist. Thus, over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And in Colossians chapter 1, picking up, please, in thought, all going to verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Now the next statement. And he is, not he was, he is before them. I am before Abraham. I am before every single thing that was ever created. I am, not I was, I am. Hang on to that. And thus, verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, all things subsist, all things exist, all things come into existence, all things have reality. By him. And thus, in the light of the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ tells us who he is and what he does, in the light of that, back over if you would, over to Exodus 17. Exodus chapter 17. And picking up in verse 16, I'll read. Remember, this is Moses and Amalek. Chapter 17 and verse 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation to generation. God is at war. The Lord is my banner. I'm going to look to God and wait on God, and there's going to be war over and over again. And I'm going to have to keep handling the affairs of life. And there's always going to be opposition. My old nature is there. The world system uses its old nature. The devil uses its nature. And thus, all of the activity, the dynamic, to become. The Lord, the devil is going to be do what he does. The world flesh is going to do what it does. But we are to look to God, Exodus 15:2. He has become to me my salvation. He is going to be to me whatever I need. When I need it, he will be there to be all that I need. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and you're looking to God to what? To produce in his being over here, who he is, and then he is able to effectively become anything he needs to be. He is everything, all things, the ultimate person all at once. and. He can be anything as needed, can do anything as needed, when needed, because he is the ultimate person, and he draws from his being ultimately all resources, all that he needs. So he's able to be everything at any given time. And then we looked at the names of all the different God provides, and God provides in all the different names of God. Now, in the light of that, so as we're looking at God, God is the living I am, and he is actively being who he is. He is, not he was. And he's going to demonstrate, always, he's going to demonstrate actively, objectively, who he is, so that we can see. God is going to show himself who he is, and he's going to help us understand that he is the ultimate person. There is no other person except him. So, God, we're going to look to you, and you're going to show yourself in all of your marvelous activity, in whatever you need to do, whatever you need to be. You are going to be it at any given time, for whatever you need to be. Over, if you would, please, to Exodus chapter 3. So we have an enemy, going to always have need, because we have to keep dealing with it, our enemy, at least in time. So now, here over in Exodus chapter 3, you would remember in verse 14, you know, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." So that's his name. I am to be, to exist, to become. I am who I am, and I become whatever is needed as the situation demands to make it happen. I have ultimate power, omnipotence, that we read it in Revelation 19. He is the omnipotent, almighty God. So omnipotence means there's no lack in any way. You could never create a situation that God does not have the power to handle. As you know, the old things when we did all this stuff years ago somewhere, you know, could God create a rock so heavy that he couldn't lift it? And of course he can't. He can't do that. He could have one big rock. In other words, instead of having billions of galaxies, we could have one big rock. How's that? And that one big rock would be only a little rock to God. No matter how you cut the cookie, it's a little rock. Now, God, here we are, and you told Moses that I am. And remember now, Moses, just reminding you of the context, chapter 3, and in verse 4, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." All right, so we got that part. Here am I. Moses said, Here I am. I'm here. I'm just me. That's right. Now, verse 6. "Moreover," he said, "I am, not I was. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. See, no question. Who's in the bush? God's in the bush. Are you smart enough to know that? Oh, Moses, you are. Now, so therefore, God, here am I. And God said, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Now, Moses' response again, you know, verse 11. "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Now, who am I? Who am I? I know you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but who am I? Who am I? And that's when the answer, verse 14, I am that I am. You're going to say, I am who I am. You are who you are. And you're going to trust me in the light of who you are, Moses. You're going to trust me to be who I am, Moses, the living and only God. You're going to trust me to be I am to you. And so that in your I am, which is so limited, my I am is not limited. And therefore, that's how you're going to say, I am that I am has sent me. And skipping down again to verse 15. And God said, moreover, unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. You are going to know me as I am. You're going to have the privilege of exercising who I am. How so? You're going to call me and learn my name. And as you learn my name and call upon my name, I will become to you all that I am. I already am everything. I'm the ultimate person. And I will become to you what you need. It'll be your personal experience to learn me, to learn of me. Israel, what an opportunity. And we have way ahead of Israel compared to them. Now, having said that, and God's going to put himself on display in a most wonderful way, and God is to become to us all that we need. I am, and he is. I am who I am, and he is who he is. And he is the sum of all dynamic existence, all dynamic, dynamo, dynamite, power, all existence. He's the source. He's the creator. He is the sum total of all eternity. If you were to take everything and forever and bring it all together, he said, that's not me. That's me, I am. Take everything, everywhere, anyhow, bring it all together, and I'm out here, and you have one person, that's me, said God. I am. And that's very hard for us, because the God of the Bible is awesomely God, wonderfully God. Now, so in the light of that, here's God's going to express himself in time in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is going to do that in the most wonderful way. Now, if you can just imagine the ability of our Lord Jesus Christ to have the power that he had, and yet he didn't exercise it. He didn't exercise what he could have had, could have done in God's wonderful will. He didn't do that. Thus, Moses, what are you going to learn? Well, our Lord perfectly understood how to use it. Moses, do you? I, Moses, God, you're going to trust God. He is the dynamic, energetic, personal God, your personal God, who continues to be always who he is, what he is, what he was, he always is. He always is. And thus your wonderful name, God, your wonderful name. Now, in the coming up into the future, in the millennium, God, are you going to demonstrate this? Now, we can read Moses, and we don't see a lot there that we could have. But God, you said when you came to the end of the recording, the Gospel of John, if I wrote down all the things that I did and could have done and said, and the books of the world couldn't hold them. So I didn't do that. But I'll tell you what, though. In the millennium, I don't know how many books will be written, if any books will ever be written in the millennium. Now, over, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 12. In Isaiah chapter 12, picking up, please. And here, going into the millennial reign of Christ, as you would know, and I'll read verse 1 for a little of the context. In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, and there's your little word, J-A-Y-A-H, yeah. For the Lord, Jehovah, and there's two together, one, two. So you know that Jah has to have some special meaning, because here's all the times when it's combined with the other word, the full verb, the full use of the noun. For the Lord Jehovah, Jah Jehovah, is my strength and my song. He also is become, remember what you read in Exodus 15:2, he's become to me all that needs to be. God is able to save me, save us, save you completely. How so? It isn't a question of how. It's what God is required. God will save you physically, spiritually, mentally. He'll save you. He can do it in a wonderful way. All kinds of ways. All kinds of ways. So here in verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jah, Jehovah, is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. I am looking for God. I am looking for God, the ultimate person. Above and beyond, there is no other more than him, period. It's like we said the other day, the Most High God. And we did it last time, maybe. And remember, we looked at the Most High God. And Melchizedek, on behalf of that Most High God, blessed Abraham. So that Abraham could turn around and bless God. God blessed Abraham. And Abraham was able to turn around and bring back to God that blessing, that wonderful movement where God did for him, and it overflowed and came back and returned back to the source, back to the author, back to God. And God was blessed by Abraham. Wow. Now, God, here we are, and you're going to go in the millennial reign of Christ, and you're going to become, as it says in verse 2, you're going to be the strength and you're going to be the salvation. That's right. I'm going to be. As needed. A Samson needs one kind of strength. One kind. Elijah, running all those miles with no food or water, he needs another kind of strength. But whatever the strength is, I will become to him. I am who I am, and I will become whatever needs to be for the occasion. And that's what I'm going to do. I am Jah Jehovah. I'm the one who does it. And thus, in the millennium, your wonderful workings. No question. And he has become, as you read in the end of verse 2, he also has become my salvation. He has become to my salvation. And thus, verse 3, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water, you'll be doing it with vigor. You'll draw water out of the wells, plural, of salvation. You're going to reach and have all kinds of wonderful benefits to see what it is to have a Savior, a wonderful Savior. So in the millennial reign of Christ, God, you are going to save whosoever would believe. And all the saints that are resurrected, the church and the Old Testament, they're going to be wonderful trophies of your saving grace. How much you've saved them. And here's all the world that humans that are in a normal body, and they're going to be able to know your wonderful ability to save them. in all kinds of ways, you're going to demonstrate that you are able to save them, and they're going to drink of the well, the springs of salvation. You are saving wonderful grace. You're going to provide it morning, noon, and night. Day and night you're going to provide it, and all we're going to do in the millennium, the people that enter it, are going to display and put on display how God is able to save them. God is able to be saving them. Because remember, they don't die. They don't die. Not unless they had to, they don't die. So, wow. God, you're going to be, whoever you are, you're going to be who you are, I should say, to anyone all during that time. That's right. I want you to learn to trust me that I will be to you who I am. All that I am. I'm the ultimate person. Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 26. And in Isaiah chapter 26, you are familiar, again, in the millennium. Verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. We don't need a fort. We don't need guards. We don't need to worry about an enemy. I will put a wall. What's the wall? My saving grace. Who's going to guard us? My saving grace is going to guard you. I'm going to keep you. Thus, verse 2, therefore relax in the millennium. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep, guard, keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, mental thought process, is being stayed, resting, like you're resting in the pew, resting your mind down upon God, resting your heart, your thoughts, your words, your deeds, stayed on thee. Why? Because they are trusting in thee, with the result that they enjoy having the reliance, the benefit of reliance and resting upon who you are. Trust. Now, having said that, the inexhaustible fullness of God to be who he is, when he is, where he is, at any time. So when I look to God, there he is. And God's going to be to me all that he is. So, verse 4. Trust, it's a command. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For the Lord, there's your little word, Y-A-H or J-A-H. For the Lord Jehovah, there's the two words together, is everlasting strength. He's the solid rock. He is the everlasting strength. Trust in the Lord Jehovah, Jah Jehovah. And he is a rock. He is a strength. He is the saving, wonderful. He brings to pass the wonderful saving ability of God in all its ways and shapes and form. So Israel, as you started out, you were told his wonderful name. And then you proceeded down the corridor of time in different kinds of places and learned his name on different occasions. And his name expanded. But it never expanded in all that it could expand, obviously. His name is ultimate. And his name can go. There's no end to his name. No end to his name at all. Thus, over if you would please, to Isaiah 40. Remember, God said, I am, I will be all that is necessary, whatever the occasion demands. I will be all of that. So you can see the need of why God wants to wean you off of all the things you trust in. We trust in ourselves. We trust in the government. We trust in this. We trust in the medicine. We trust. And we're busy. And we have a whole lot of trust with an S in it. Lots of trust. Lots of saviors, you know. And Isaiah will say, we have learned, God, to have no savior except you, Lord. It's going to take a bit. Because we get all these different things we trust in, and we add God to it like a spoke in the wheel. You know, here's all the things we do and all the things we need, and God is a spoke. No, God is at the center of the wheel. He makes all the spokes work. He's supposed to be at the center, not on the spokes and not on the circumference, so that God is involved in every aspect, every spoke of the wheel. God is connected. Every spoke of the wheel is connected to God. So that in any given day, on any given thing you do, whatever you're doing, work, home, school, play, school, and you go all the way down and to the center, and God is connected. God is connected to work, each thing, all the way down, and there's God. So whatever I'm be doing, whatever we do in word or deed, we're to do it what? All to the glory of God. How can we do that? Because God is at the center. If he isn't at the center, and you just have him out there, you can understand your dilemma, because you never discover. You never discover all that he is. And God wants us to be, get us to the point where we're not looking. God said, I am the ultimate totality. I am the total person. I am, we sing it, all that you need. Now, how can that be? Well, because God is who he is. That's because dentist is a dentist, and doctor is a doctor, and a butcher is a butcher, and everyone's something. But God's everything. God's everything. God exceeds anything. Whoever you name for any capacity in your life, father, mother, brother, sister, God exceeds them. Doesn't he? He exceeds them. So we got too much horizontal and not enough vertical with God. So now, Psalm 40. And picking up, please. God, we need to understand that you are able to supply all of our need. And God, you are being who you are and becoming to me, to us, for us, through us, about us. You're going to become all that we need, no matter what. Psalm 40, picking up, please, going directly to verse 3. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, respecteth not the proud, nor is such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned, calculated, computed, up in order, too many, too much. Unto thee, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God, your thoughts about me. Now slide your eye over, if you like, to the last statement, verse 17. David, you're going to tie that together for us. He is. It's going to be individualized. Your thoughts to us would. Endless about us. And he individualizes them, personalizes them. Verse 17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. See? There's your word. You have it in verse 5. Thy thoughts to us would. But God thinks about us personally. That's hard, isn't it? Personal. I will become to you. I am that I am. And I will become to you all that needs to be. I already am what I am. And I will manifest, work that out in a most wonderful way, so that you will know that. Over, if you would, to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Now, one of the name God, you would have the expression, the Lord, my God, my God. That's very personal. The Lord is my shepherd, very personal. Here in Psalm 18, David again, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Remember, Moses said, my strength and my salvation. God, you become to me whatever is needed. Verse 2, the Lord is my rock. Personal. My fortress. My deliverer. My God. My strength. In whom I will trust. My buckler shield. And the horn of my salvation, the defense system. My high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. My. Over to verse 16. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me. It means to come after, to come, to follow after, to be anticipating a meeting with somebody. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. They were there, but God, they were ready to get me, but the Lord was my stay, my support. And you can read on and on and on and on and on. Psalm 91. Picking up, please. You know it. And verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And you get, and if you kept reading, of course you're going to get all the wonderful statements down there over to verse 14. Because he hath set his love upon me, said God, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Why? Because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I'm going to show him. I'm going to work it out. As long as he looks to me to be who I am, he will not be disappointed. I will show him who I am. He will discover who I am. That's what he's going to learn. He's going to learn that marvelous truth. Wow. God, that's what we want to learn. And Israel had opportunity, and we have a wonderful opportunity in our Lord. In other words, to say it a different way, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. God in us is going to be all that he is, and God would like to outwork his wonderful will. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which what? God's going to do something. God, you're going to take my cooperation and your being who you are. Uh-huh. Not my will. Now, he didn't say I'd work out your will. He said I'd work out my will. He didn't say your good pleasure. He said my good pleasure. That's what I'm going to work out. So if you don't mind, I'm going to become to you all that is needed. And all that is necessary. And you're going to learn to honor my name. So when you speak of me, a name, God, My God. That's why Thomas, you didn't have to go through what you did, but he did. And he did. He wonderfully, wonderfully helped us. And he said, the Lord said, stick forth your hand and shove it into my side. And Thomas, he wouldn't have done it. Neither would you and I. Neither would we. And all Thomas could say is, my Lord and my what? My Lord and my God. That's all he could say. Nothing else to say. See? Wow. So, perhaps you have a particular request. I hope that...